So hey, it's Peter. This is part two with Andrew Fisher-Tomlin. If you haven't heard part one, go back, not last week, but the week beforehand. You get part one and then come back here. And this should continue on playing from where you first started. You go do that. I'll wait here for you. You're back. This is Andrew Fisher-Tomlin. And you need at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/Sideshow, sideshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
So we had a few people coming forward who were new and interesting, had good ideas. People like Tom Hill, brilliant garden. And what I love about it, he's using new materials as well. And to me, that's really exciting. Is using media trichoea, which we were talking about earlier, you know, which is actually from the
there's a girl sneaking in. There's loads of doors in this place. Sorry to cut across your picture. Yeah, I forget I'm not on camera, and like people wouldn't have noticed anyway. But new material you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, Tom came in. He said, "I'm doing this thing and everything. Have you heard of this thing called media trichoea?" I said, "Well, actually, I have actually, because I worked with Oxford Planters on using the same material when it was first available, and I did a show garden a couple of years ago where we used it as a great new material." And that's when I found out that it's actually owned by the Irish. It's owned by the Irish government because it's part of the same thing as MDF. And you know, this material, you can bury it underground and they'll still guarantee it 25 years later. You know, it's awesome. And it's natural. It's all a natural process. And Tom's using that. And he's taking not just use that. He's taking it and used new paints and things like that to create these almost like steel and copper. And you're looking at this thing. This thing that can never be wood, but it's, you know, you knock it and you think, no, that's wood, but it looks like copper and things. So he's really exciting because he's interested in those sorts of things, and that's the sort of people who you want to encourage, because otherwise we'll just keep having the same people doing the show gardens, and it gets quite boring and dull. And anything we can do, like the competition we had at Ascot with the colleges, is great. Because I firmly believe, and I've always seen, the new ideas coming from young people. People who are coming into the industry and they haven't got any hang-ups about, I should only use this combination of planting because this is acceptable. And it hit home to me a few years ago when I was judging a garden. I think it was at Chelsea. I was giving some feedback and I said, great garden, but the planting is a bit weird for what your story is. Why did you do this planting? And they said, well, you know, because the best in show last year, that's the planting they did, and they got a gold medal. I said, well, it's got no relevance to your garden, though. That's their garden. And I think that's the trouble where you get people are just the same people doing the same thing, and they make it into a formula, whereas young people are actually got more, they're sort of hungrier for it, and they're more willing to make mistakes, but also try new stuff. And I think that's why these new shows and the smaller shows and the younger shows are much more exciting.
I take your point and I take what you're saying and I accept it and I wish it was all of that. But a text message that I sent to a friend of mine said, Peter Donegan, 5 years of age, 1981, growing plants under my bed. Nothing in horticulture for Peter. I couldn't get into where should I go with that interest, number one. 2001, age 24, I started up Donegan Landscaping. Still in business, thank God, touch wood. But the question that was raised and asked to me by people whose doors I knocked on was, is this your dad's business? I'd say no. Is this your granddad's business? I'd say no. And I heard one girl in particular said, so you don't have a beard and you don't have a woolly jumper. Are you sure? And that was that. Pause. 2018, Peter Donegan, still no other garden radio show, no disrespect and fair play to the man, a big fan of it, but Gardener's Question Time is the stalwart. There is nothing there. And the bring young people into horticulture thing is, I won't say it's a bone of contention, I don't mind if they don't come to me, it saves me a lot of time and such, it doesn't pay my bills. But the press releases will appear in the Telegraph and they'll appear on the mainstream radio and the mainstream television, when in fact the demographic of The Telegraph, no disrespect again, and GQT, is not 44 years of age for the greater part, I say for the greater part, and under. So logic would say, well, you should be going to the YouTuber or the blogger or the podcaster or the sideshow. It doesn't work out like that. Now, that's one side of it, Andrew. But on the other side of it, those that play the dangerous game, but the new ideas game in show gardens, sometimes get reprimanded. And so when you go back to the formula, you, for the greater part, if you follow the rules carefully, and you know this, you get rewarded with gold. The question is, do you want gold or do you want rock and roll and daydreams?
Oh, no, you see, it's there's a bit sort of fake stuff all about, you know, gold and things like that. I hate, one of the things I really hate is pet hatred, is about how Chelsea Flower Show is the only workplace worth going. And suddenly, you know, somebody said to me, oh, are you going to play with the big boys sometime and do Chelsea in the last year? And I went, well, I did it in the 90s. It's all right, but I want to do other things. You know, something like Ascot, we're not judging the show gardens. I don't believe you should. You know, this is coming from somebody who was the chairman of judges for the RHS for 10 years. I don't believe you should judge now. I think it's the RHS has to do it. They've always had medals. That's what people want. If people really want medals, then give them medals. I think for things like the Horticulture College competitions, give them medals, because I want a student to have that they worked on a gold medal or a bronze medal winning garden at the Ascot Flower Show, and that's great. It's on their CV. It works. Well, actually, I think you should be judged by your peers. And as much as I keep trying to persuade all these shows to do it, they won't do a sort of designer selection where you have to vote for somebody else. But, you know, they should respect each other. And voted by the visitors. I don't like that sort of doing a vote online because you've got a load of, you've got 5 minutes on television. No, vote by the visitors by putting your ticket stub in there. That's what I like to see, and that's why I'm really pleased Ascot have done that. But there's a lot of fake stuff about, you know, the getting people in into horticulture. I've heard people who are responsible for large companies talking about the problems of getting young people into horticulture and at the same time cancelling their apprenticeship schemes. But there's a lot of people talking about it but not doing anything, which is why I do stuff with young people, and I work with Perennial, and I used to work with Streetscape, and try to get people in. But the really positive thing is there is a whole new generation of people, particularly in their 20s, who are coming into horticulture. And you and I are part of a generation that actually lost it. Our parents were interested in it. You know, my dad had 3 allotments, and my mum did the gardening, and, you know, and they were into it. But we're a whole generation that it skipped. And if you go to Australia and New Zealand and America, they say the same thing. In some places, I've worked a lot in places like Cyprus, and I never forget, I had a client who was about 35, 40. He'd made all his money in the mobile communications business. He had this double plot, and down the bottom of the hill, well, at the top of the hill, there was this house, and it was like a James Bond house. It was awesome, and there was a bar, and I said, well, you know, we could bring the bar and make it into a bridge over the swimming pool and things. He had a tunnel that went down the hillside into this glass-fronted garage for his Lamborghinis. Oh. And stuff like that. It was amazing. You just think this is really, really cool stuff. And I said, well, what we'll do is we'll swing that bridge that's going over the swimming pool out across the slope, and underneath it we'll put a cactus garden, because it overlooked the demilitarized zone in Cyprus in the middle. So all you saw was like desert. It was fabulous. And I got really enthusiastic about it. And he put his hands on my shoulder and he said, Andrew, you won't forget that I need someone to grow my tomatoes and a place for an orange tree and a lemon tree and do that. And he's in his 30s. I thought, yeah, this is a place that, because family is important and what you, those things are still important. You've not lost that. And there's a generation. But here we've got a whole generation that lost it. And the good thing is young people are getting interested again. Young people, the reason, you know, we all know about houseplants, you know, huge increase in sales, 600% in 5 years, because young people actually can't afford places, so they take their garden with them and they have indoor plants. But also there's lots of things on micro gardening and community gardening, and young people are getting into it and enjoying it. But also it's that gateway into actually going and working in the industry. And I've stood at shows and I've talked to people, and a lot of the students we get at London College of Garden Design who are in their early 30s have been gardening for 5 or 6 years and thinking, I'm going to want to take this further now. And the design's a bit sexy and things like that. But they're great because they actually understand what it's like to grow something. And that background is really, really handy when you start talking to your clients, and because it's not just about doing a pretty picture, it's about going in and understanding the soil and the climate and how things are changed. And it's a great skill. I always say to young people, it's you're like a GP. It's not as life threatening, but you do have to know a hell of a lot. And I have enormous respect for jobbing gardeners, people who are actually out there maintaining gardens and looking after gardens, because they have to know so much. As much as I had training back in the 80s in horticulture, I couldn't go and do that now, because it just blows my mind what you need to know in terms of plant health and things like that. So I think it's really, really positive, actually. I think there are a lot of people seeing that, and there's lots of different reasons why it's moving forward. I think people are much more understanding about where the food comes from. I think they understand climate change. I think also things like government initiatives in apprenticeships are really good, because they're making an alternative to going to university, getting a vocational study. And people like Capel Manor College, the London Horticultural College are really ramping up the apprenticeships and things. So our problem in some ways is about people understanding you can make a living from it, but that quite often is down to also clients understanding that actually, £25 an hour is actually a reasonable sum, and it's not like £8 an hour. But I always say to people, whenever people, my clients, are shocked when I introduce them to somebody who's going to maintain the garden, and I say, that's going to be £25 an hour, and they're shocked. I say, well, how much do you pay to have your hair cut? Because you're probably paying £80 to £100 an hour for a hairdresser. And there's more skill. Well, yeah, I haven't got any hair, so. But there's more skill in understanding garden and developing a garden and working with that than there is in cutting hair.
This came up in discussion earlier on with Claudia De Jong, who is due up on the show. And I can't remember if it was on mic or off mic, but none to the point. We were saying about the thing of charging for call-outs and charging for consultations, and the free advice person who, obviously there's money to be made in driving around the country and just handing out free advice after 4 years in horticulture, having done nothing but garden design and build for 17 years plus, etc. And then, as you rightly said, and the how much? Well, I can get somebody to do it for £8. And I always say, well, congratulations. Yeah. Horses for courses, and what can I do?
I was going to say exactly. It's horses for courses. Exactly where you are. Somebody said to me years ago when I was chair of the Society of Garden Designers, in Scotland they should be charging more. It's like, no, you can charge what you can charge and what people are prepared to pay. There is that. I always joke with Andrew Wilson, and I said, yeah, you can turn up and have a coffee with someone and decide whether you want to go and work for them. But for most of us, it's there's very few people in this world who can just turn up and get a job and choose what they're, and they're usually people like brain surgeons. For most of us, we have to go and pitch our business. That's a skill, and some people are better than others, but I where I live in Southwest London, I've never charged a call out fee or anything, because it's just not really me. My original, when I left school, I went to work in the horse racing industry, actually, which is probably why I like Ascot so much, for Barclays Bank. And we used to, I worked in marketing, in banking as well for a few years. And I understand that. You go and pitch your business all the time, and that's what I do. And all those things like, you're only as good as your last job, and all those things are absolutely right. They still, but with garden design, it ain't about pretty pictures. It's about communication, and it's about good service. All those things that as you get older, matter. And I say time and time again, there's that thing that you meet somebody who's 20 and they're really polite, and you think, oh, it's really nice to treat you like that. And you think, oh shit, that was what your parents used to say. you become your parents and things. But it is that whole, those whole things about service and showing, and having knowledge and things like that, and how you approach people and being approachable. And like you said, being a gentleman or being a lady or whatever, that actually get you work. I think that's really important. It's a skill in itself. I know in London sometimes, the fact that you turn up, you get a job. I've been to see somebody and you say, well, they say to you, well, I've rung four people, and you're the only person that turned up, so the job's yours. Even in this day and age, and you think, fine, that's what it takes. And there's always that balance between, you know, and there are designers, very well-known designers out there, and they do the same thing for everybody. But they also earn a hell of a lot of money out of it. And that's their choice. And there's other people who want to just keep doing different things, and they perhaps aren't as well known, and they don't put so much into the marketing. And I mean, it came as a shock to me about 5 years ago when I suddenly realised I was walking in Chelsea on press day, and I realised that every designer had a publicist, and it never occurred to me that you should get a publicist, and that's why they were getting in the magazines all the time. And I'm thinking, why didn't I ever think that? You know, but, you know, and it's a way, and if that's what you want, but there's some amazing people. I mean, I was standing in Ascot Garden Show and talking to people I haven't seen for years who've got really good little businesses in parts of London, and they're, you know, they work within 10 minutes of their home, and they're earning good wage, and they're really, really happy, and that's what suits them. And we shouldn't put everyone in the same box. It's like we all want different things from life. You just got to get the right balance there. And if you want to, you know, be all over the magazines and television, that's fine. But also we should respect all the people who want nice little garden businesses that mean that they work Monday to Friday and they go home to the families at the weekend.
Well, that's something I said to James Besson, or I'll rephrase that. I think it was James said to me, in fact, which was the riches in life, and you got to maybe weigh up a little bit what they are. I want to take this a little bit back, because my mom used to say to me, well, a lot of things. Of the many cliches that she had for me, one of them was, can you not sit still for 2 minutes? The other one was, can you not be like your other brother Liam? But that's another day's work. Were you a daydreamer out the window in school, and could you sit still when you were a junior?
I've definitely always been a bit of a daydreamer. And there's that thing about always thinking of other stuff and think other things you could be doing.
Did you get into trouble for it in school, if you understand?
No, I was always quiet one. It's really funny because everyone thinks I'm really loud and I talk a lot, and you can hear I can talk for England. But, you know, people are always surprised when they speak to my mother, and my mother says, oh, Andrew's the quiet one in the family.
Wow.
And I actually am the quiet one in the family. I have an older sister who's a nurse and a younger brother who's actually works in the police force in Canada. It's like we get together. I don't get a word in edgeways. Yeah, no, yeah. What can I say, really? Yeah. No, I think it's more I get bored easily. And when I remember saying to Dan, my business partner in the design company, I said, oh, I've been judging these gardens for the RHS and selecting gardens for about 10 years now, and I just had enough, really. I want to go and do some gardens again, and I do that. And Dan said to me, I can't believe you lasted that long. I thought 5 years max. And I'm a bit like that, because it's not a bad thing. I just like new challenges and getting onto something new and different. And I think you have to be prepared to stop things as well if you feel you're getting stale. You know, I've always said, I've chaired various committees and stuff, and I said, you chair something. They said, oh, can you stay on? It's like, no, a new chair doesn't need you behind them. You just need to get on to the next thing. I'm interested in new ideas and change things and keeping fresh, and working with young people is the key to that. I've always said to people, you know, if you want the best business advice, is surround yourself with people who wouldn't normally be your social group, your class, your age. I was extremely lucky when I started out to meet David Hockney. And I spent an afternoon with David Hockney. It was sheer chance. It was brilliant. And I felt like I've made this friend. And he told me stuff that I won't repeat. but David Hockney is one of those guys that, you know, when people were saying, oh, yeah, I'm using an iPad now for my pad, just like David Hockney. I'm sorry, but David Hockney had moved on to the next thing. You know, he's like that. He's really fresh. And he said, you know, always keep fresh, keep looking at new ideas and things. And it was just a sheer chance we met. But it's really right. You know, you surround yourself with people who wouldn't typically be your social group and that. You learn new things. You learn different ways of looking at things. And you can learn things from an older generation, and particularly things like respect, communication and manners and all those sorts. And manners really matter. And I work with blind veterans a lot. One of the pro bono things we do in our business, we work with Blind Veterans UK. And we've made a few gardens for them. We did one at Hampton Court last year. And they're just awesome people. I mean, they've got been through so much, and they're blind, and you know, and they're in their 80s and their 90s. And their favourite sports are shooting, archery and darts. The most dangerous things you can think of for those things. But and they show me their injuries, and they think it's really funny, you know. So you learn a lot from that attitude from people, but you also learn a lot about that freshness of thinking and that sort of almost no fear thing from young people. If I just surrounded myself with people my age group who are the same, I wouldn't get that. I wouldn't get that feedback. So things like mentoring young people are really important for me, but also working with older people as well. And actually, you know, one of the things I talked about working in the horse racing industry for Barclays, the first thing they always taught you at Barclays Bank was somebody walking into the branch who looks like $1 million, has got spent it all on clothes, they haven't got any money in the bank. Somebody comes in looking like a tramp, they've saved all their money. So you treat everyone the same that walks through the door.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true. Yeah. You know, you have that respect thing. So it's really, for me, it's really important. I know people from lots of different walks of life. I'm really staying engaged with those. And I'm always interested in people who are enthusiastic about something. I used to know this guy who was really enthusiastic about old lorries. Bore me to tears. I'm not interested in old lorries at all. But the way he could talk about it, I could listen to him for hours. It's amazing.
I'll take your line on the person in the suit and the person in the rags walking in, and it was something Mom always said to me, God bless her. She would have got on with you like a house on fire for that sole reason. And I think I'll take the point on surrounding yourself with great people or people who will make you better. But again, the one thing I said to pass on was, am I allowed to call him that? Yeah, I think I'm allowed to call him that now. The one thing I said to pass on was the riches of life thing. And I said, look, I've always had great people by my side when the hits the fan, whether it's off the mind or whether it's just self-imposed pressure, it's important to get back out. And to that, as a, by the way, I should give you a high five on the perennial thing. That's perennial, the Gardeners Royal Benevolent Society. So if you're feeling a bit lowly, and sorry, I've got an itchy eye for those who listen at home, but if you're feeling a bit lowly and it's not going according to plan, the door's squeaking to put this on a down note, but give perennial a call. They're on Twitter, etc., and they're really wonderful people. Andrew, I want to ask you a couple of things. I've probably got my own, in music terms it'd be Steps, S Club 7, Shania Twain CDs.
Can I just say that? What? Amazing, because I adore Steps. And
oh,
this
no,
and this morning we were driving along, and I was with Mallory and Jeremy from the Landscape Show, you probably know.
Yeah.
And just switched on the car, and Britney Spears came on, and we were like so happy. Because it was just a bit Britney. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. This Britney Spears, it's called Lucky, actually, yeah. I like Toxic by Steps, it's a good one, but the new album is really good as well. Tears on the Dance Floor.
What? I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
I'm quite a big country fan as well. I like a lot of different country and new country. I just actually, it's a bizarre name really, but for my birthday I was given an album by a new country band called Midland. Can you believe they're called Midland? It's just like, but they're really good, so that's a country recommendation for you.
Right, well, it's a step up from S Club 7, and we'll park that to one side. But give me this one. Five things that absolutely get on your nerves. Did you get the door squeak again? It's great. You didn't make it squeak. It's okay.
I think one thing I've always already hinted at is this thing that the only place to be is Chelsea Flower Show. Yeah. In terms of my industry.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going to cut across on that. And you were bang on the Tatton thing and the Warren's McGarrah Garden at Tatton 1-7. And those two lads are of the ultimate in manners and a really good pure girl.
well, interesting. Warren's McGarrah, I'm working with them a bit as well because I really admire what they're doing. You know, young people, they need a bit of a steer and a help at the moment. But, you know, they're going in the right direction. And, you're right. You can't hope to meet a better parent. Of young men doing really good stuff and really exciting stuff. I mean, that garden they did at Tatton last year.
But if you understand me, that garden caught my eye, and it wasn't the only one. And I know they're clever and they'll bring in the decent PR girl, which they did. Fair play, hi, Carolyn. But at the same token, if they were I'll be eloquent and say lacking in manners, and that wouldn't mean diddly. We wouldn't be talking about them right now. They wouldn't even get mentioned on this show. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does actually make sense to me. And actually, I need to tell you actually a story about that garden, because I met the guys at the garden as well the year before. I was up Tatton. I was actually volunteering for somebody who volunteers for me. Lara, who'd done the Macmillan Garden.
Oh, she's
said, yeah, yeah. And she always volunteers for me on my show gardens things. And I said, do you want some help? And she said, yeah, I do actually, Andrew. And I was like, oh, okay, better go up and help. And anyway, I went for a little wander around and I walked around the corner and there's this garden. And I'm like, God, this is amazing, this garden. This is just, it just blew my mind. And this guy comes along, you know, Michael comes along and he said, hello, Andrew, how are you doing? Everything. I said, have you seen this garden? It's amazing. Like that. And he said, yeah, yeah, it's mine. And I literally, it's the second time only that a garden has made me cry. I just like these tears going into my eyes. And he said, you're right. I said, yeah, because I didn't know it was your garden. You just made me cry. Even now I can feel it, you know, and things like that. And the only other time I cried at a garden was, I was out in Japan, decided to tell everyone it was the jet lag. But I arrived and they'd show me a little round the gardens because we went to judge them the next day. And I walked onto the garden. I thought, this is just amazing, this garden. It was by this Japanese gardener. It just felt really, really good. And so I went away. And the next morning, I was in there with Kate Hillier, the Hillier's family, who's in New Zealand, and Dougal Phillip, who's up in Scotland, and the head gardener from the grounds there. And we walked in. And they suddenly went, what's wrong, Andrew? And I was like, just floods of tears. Go, this garden's so lovely. It's amazing. So I have only cried at two gardens in my life. but the Warnsman Garden one was on as well. I've forgotten. What was your question?
Oh, things didn't really get me going.
Well, yeah, but you're going to have to do this quick. We've done a double... Well, we're a double episode now, which is great, because you now fit into... Well, I think you Basson... There's a couple of you. Andrew Wilson actually had a double episode. He was the first ever. I'll come back to that in a minute. Anyway, Mark Gregory hasn't had a double episode. I need to correct that one. But as I always remind him, he's too bloody handsome. Five things that get in your goat, essentially. Yeah. They don't need to be all horticulture.
No, I suppose they don't really. I mean, we've done the Chelsea one. We certainly the one where people are going on about young people in horticulture, but actually knew nothing about it themselves.
Yes,
because you can do a lot about that. In horticulture, again, that whole just starting with your list of plants at your favourite plants.
No, that's three.
Well, that's three.
One band you can't stand. if you say Shania Twain.
I like Shania Twain. Cause
Seriously.
You know Shania Twain? Do you know her real claim to fame?
No.
She is the biggest landowner in New Zealand.
Yeah, but her songs make me want to drink gin and weep at the bottom of a staircase.
Well, that's not a reason to hate her, is it?
No, I don't hate her as a person.
Oh, right.
I'm just saying her music makes me do that.
Oh, I know the fifth thing would be, it's like how people... this is a really stupid thing, really. It's like, I get really annoyed that people automatically... have a go at Tesco's, but think what the sun shines out the arse of Waitrose. I know that's a really funny thing because in where I live in Raines Park and things, we always used to win the best street in London, and it was judged on the basis of all these like individual private bakers and butchers and everything like that. And a supermarket moved into the high street, and all these things closed. And people say to me, "Oh, that's awful, isn't it? You know, Tesco's are awful when they moved into there." And I go, but that was Waitrose. And they go, oh, but Waitrose can do no harm. and it always makes you laugh. There's that sort of, I suppose it's snobbery. It's snobbery about it. And I'll probably annoy a lot of your listeners because, you know, I've always thought, you know, that John Lewis is the dullest shop. It's the safest shop there are. You've got me going now. It's like, you know, it's really safe. It's really dull. And it's a bit like, but people think it can do no harm. And I think, well, it does a lot of harm just by being dull, you know?
And I hear they sell Shania Twain CDs. It's come free with a toast rack. I don't know. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an insightful chat and a pleasure to listen. In the meantime, if there's anything you need, Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/Sodshow, Sodshow.com. If you're in iTunes or any of them, you can leave a rate and review. Yeah, thanks for listening. It means a lot. And thanks, Andrew.
Cheers. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Thanks. Got a lot of things off my chest.